faithful. I'll be reading from Acts chapter 1 and starting at verse 1. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered around him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." This is the word of the Lord.
Please be seated. You already did. You know what to do. Brilliant people. Hey, I'm thrilled to be with you. I'm standing today, not crutching. If you're new or visiting, that's kind of the norm, but I've just been dealing with an injury. So I'm going to be doing my best today to stand the whole time by God's grace. Hey, question for you. What is the biggest promise you've ever made? Or the first one that comes to mind. For some of us, it was a promise when we got married. For some of us, it was a promise when we looked in the mirror and said, "This is the year I lose 10 pounds. Or 5. What's the biggest promise you've made? We all make promises. In fact, most of life is based on promises. We go to work with the promise or premise that we will be paid. We invest with the promise or premise that it will pay off in the long run. We build our lives on promises, and yet here's the great problem. For many of us, we know this: we are promise breakers. Think about it this way. Nobody has lied to you as much as you have lied to you. You know this. And also, we live in a world where people break their promises to us. And here's one of the things that's going to happen as we head into the book of Acts. We are going to see this promise. We're going to talk about the Holy Spirit today. And we're talking about the Holy Spirit next week. And we're talking about the Holy Spirit the week after that. And then we're going to see the Holy Spirit doing more the week after that. And by God's grace, we will spend 9 to 11 weeks in this book, not 4.5 years or 3.5 years. But we are going to see that all of these remarkable promises. And here's what's going to happen if you're honest. Many of us in this room will go, "That can't be true," or "That's not for me." And some of us, we will hear of this promise and long for it. And so today, we're going to look at this promise for the church. And so if you're here, you're exploring faith, and you look around and you see Christians who seem very commonplace, that's good news, by the way. It means you're welcome here. But it also means this: something is missing. Something's missing. So today, we're going to look at this promise of the Holy Spirit, and actually the call to wait. What's fascinating about promises is this: You have to wait for them to be fulfilled. So today we're going to pray. If you're here and you go, the topic of the Holy Spirit makes me afraid, tell him that. Tell him, I'm afraid of the Holy Spirit. Why? Honest prayers are the only ones that really draw us near to God. If you present to God a false sense of self, if you lie to him, you perform for him, you cannot connect to him. For some of you, you're here and you're bored. You're bored. Tell him. Some of you are here and you're exploring faith. You're trying to figure it out. Tell him that. Today, we want to present our honest selves to God so that he might deal with us. Some of you today, you're like filled to overflowing with the Holy Spirit. Praise him. That's a good day. Thank him. So that being said, I'm going to invite us to pray. Let's pray. Father, as we step into the book of Acts, we want to hear your voice. God, some of us in this room, even the topic of your Holy Spirit just brings fear. So today, would you bring peace in Jesus' name? God, some of us in this room, when we think of the Holy Spirit, we think of chaos, and yet you are an orderly God, and you bring order out of the chaos. God, some of us, we came here today, low expectations, very little faith. Some of us came out of routine and duty. Today, have mercy on us and pour out your grace and help us to long for the life that you promised. And God, some of us in this room were walking with a sense of fullness and joy and delight. Thank you. That's amazing. We pray all this in Jesus' beautiful name. Amen. So today, as we talk about this promise of the Spirit, the book of Acts, we are going to have a bit of an outline for you. We're going to talk about the gift, the mission, and then the end. The gift, the mission, and the end. So if you've got a Bible, you can flip to the book of Acts. If you're new to Foothills or here for the first time in a long time, welcome back. We have just wrapped up the book of Matthew. We spent 3.5 years in the book of Matthew, and we did it, Foothills. We're done. And today we start, in some regards, the sequel. Matthew is all about the life of Jesus. And the book of Acts is all, a lot of sneezing today. Bless you. We're going to make it through, folks. We're going to do this. Acts functions as a sequel to the Gospels, because it is a continuation of what Jesus is doing. A little bit of background on the book of Acts. It's written by a physician whose name was Luke. Luke writes the most detailed accounts of all of the Gospels. So Luke also wrote an orderly account of the life of Jesus, and then he wrote what was called the Acts of the Apostles. And some people have said this could rightly be called the Acts of Jesus, and he'll give lots of details and lots of locations. And so that's where we pick up. So verse one, in my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. So a little bit of background for you. Theophilus very likely is the funder of Luke's writing endeavor. So Luke, he was a physician. That's how he made his money. But in order to investigate the life of Jesus, he would have needed somebody to pay for him to eat. He was a broke artist. He was a physician turned broke artist. Okay, six of you laugh. Thank you. Man, I'm in pain. You guys got to throw you the ball. You got to throw it back. So Theophilus would have funded both the account of Luke and likely Acts. And here he says something really fascinating. I wrote about all that Jesus began to do. What's interesting is if you read the account of Luke or Matthew or John, when it comes to the end, it seems like the work of Jesus is actually over. But here's what he said. It was only the beginning. And here's what that means for us today, that Jesus is still at work today. And this is so central because if we don't understand that the work of Jesus is not finished, then we will adopt a theology of just getting through. Okay, we'll adopt an understanding of God and reality of just getting through. Here's what I mean by that. This is called technically remnant theology. And this is a trap that the church can fall into. And Foothills is a trap we can fall into. Here's what I mean. Sometimes what can happen is this. If the work of Jesus is finished, here's what we need to do. We need to get onto the lifeboat of salvation, live our lives until we die, and just survive and then die and go to heaven. So we look at the world and we go, the world is evil and wicked and broken, and I just can't wait for the end to come. You'll see that. That's what the apostles do. Hey, Jesus, are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel now? And he goes, that's not what we're talking about. What we need to see is this, is that Jesus, the work of Jesus, is not finished. This is why we are in this process of revisioning 2033. We move from know God, love others, reach neighbors, serve the world, to know Jesus deeply, follow Jesus fully, share Jesus boldly. But we also reoriented what we are aiming for. And we actually said this, that by God's grace, we want to see thousands of people by 2033 give their lives to Christ. Because here's what we believe, and I need us to hold this, that Jesus is not finished yet. His work has only just begun. 2,000 years later, it's still beginning. And I need you to know this because it means that how you give matters, how you serve matters, how you pray matters, how you fast matters. And again, we're gonna harp on this one for a little bit. A couple of weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, many of you prayed, you fasted, you gave, you were looking at Easter and going, God, do something great. And here's what we saw. We had 4 baptisms planned. 4, a nice number. And then by God's grace, we had 22 that we celebrated. 22 people. Yeah, we can clap for that. But don't we long for more? We long for more because Jesus is not finished. So he goes on and then he says this, until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. One other note that you need to know is this, that Jesus, after his resurrection, here's what it says, he gave instructions to his first followers and he did so through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, that's weird. That's odd, okay? Jesus, the resurrected Lord of glory. He comes out of an empty tomb. If you read the gospel accounts, it gets odd. He like shows up in places. It's like he can walk through walls or something. Here's what happens. Jesus comes, he's risen from the dead. The glory is showing he is the King of Kings. He's the Messiah, the anointed one. And guess what? He's gonna give instructions. And he does so through the power of the Holy Spirit. Why does that matter? Here's why it matters. If the resurrected Lord of glory needs the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to teach his disciples, how much more do you need the Holy Spirit to get through your work day? How much more? How much more to raise your kids? How much more to get through high school or university or trade school or just your job? Foothills, I have this great longing. So I feel scattered this morning because I have this longing that we would long for the Holy Spirit to fill us, to lead us, to guide us. And my worry is, my great worry for our church is that we would just play church. And we would grow and expand, but we would not walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus resurrected. Just teaching. He's just giving some instructions to his disciples. Apparently that doesn't say much about us. He needs supernatural empowerment just to speak to us. How much more do you need the Holy Spirit? So couple of questions, just as we carry on. Let's talk about the Holy Spirit in you. Let's talk about the Holy Spirit in you and me. First question, do you love the Holy Spirit? I was reading a book by A.W. Tozer yesterday. A.W. Tozer, an old Alliance pastor, great author, prolific. He remarked about this, that the Holy Spirit, you can tell the church has not known what to do with the Holy Spirit, because when it wrote its creeds, there's like the Apostles' Creed, it's like, I believe in God the Father, maker of heaven, and it gets like five lines about truths we believe about God the Father. And then it goes, I believe in God the Son, Lord of light, light of light, and gives five lines. And then it goes, I believe in the Holy Spirit. And the church. And then it explains more about the church. And he just said, he said this, that we are shy about what Jesus teaches lots about. So do you love the Holy Spirit? Number two, do you obey the Holy Spirit? You know those promptings, that nudging from God? His scripture, do you obey the Holy Spirit? Question number three, do you cherish the Holy Spirit? Do you like having him around? Again, some of us are fearful of the Holy Spirit. We go, Kyle, are we going to become one of those churches? Well, some of you laughed, the weird ones. Are you going to wear a funny suit and whip your coat at people? No. God, finally, thank you. But friends, we need the Holy Spirit. We really do. We really do. And the final question, do you desire the Holy Spirit? Here's a question for you. If you're new or visiting, the reason we want to talk about the Holy Spirit is because the Bible does, over and over and over, and because there's this longing in our culture and in our society and in our world, not just for religion, but for an encounter with the divine. And that happens through the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. So here's a question for you, and I want you to answer it honestly before God. If you're here and you're a Christian, today, are you walking in the fullness of the Holy Spirit? Just tell him. And if you're not, tell him that. I'm not. And then repent. So, verse 3. So he teaches the apostles he had chosen, verse 3. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. Some scholars have noted that what's fascinating here is Moses, he goes up onto this mountain, Sinai, and for 40 days he's with God, and he receives the law and instruction on how to lead and love the people of God. And here Jesus does the same, because Jesus is God. And so for 40 days he's giving instructions, and he gives instructions on the kingdom of God. And then it says, verse 4, on one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, about which you have heard me speak. A couple of thoughts here. Number one, Jesus was eating with them. Jesus was eating with them. And for us, we go, big deal. But in the ancient world, this was a very big deal, because there was claims that Jesus rose spiritually, but not physically. That he kind of was like this spiritual reality that people could walk in and experience. And here, Luke wants us to know, no, Jesus sat down and had lunch. They had taquitos together. Because Jesus is alive. And then he says this, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Couple of realities that are ongoing here. One, they're in Jerusalem. Jesus does the instructing work here, oddly, in Jerusalem. So somehow these first followers of Jesus, they've gone back to the capital city. Now this would be shocking because this is where they murdered Jesus. This is where the movement of Jesus seemed to come to an end. And yet that is where they gathered to pray. And Jesus says, you will have to wait for the Holy Spirit. A couple of thoughts here. One is this. Christians, we talk about telling people about Jesus, about being a witness, right? So these folks, they've seen Jesus rise from the dead. They're likely very excited. They have a good testimony. And yet Jesus goes, you are not ready. You're not ready because you cannot talk about me without the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you a quick story. Many of you know, a number of years ago, I had the great privilege of starting a church. It was awesome. We started, my wife and I, and our two kids with a third on the way. That was our core team. We started with four of us, and we had a Bible study we were a part of. So I had a bunch of men that I had been doing life with, and we would meet together, we'd study the Bible, we'd confess our sin. We'd call it a life group here today at Foothills. And I remember I asked a handful of them, will you join me? And some of them did. It was crazy. And then my wife did the same with her ladies group. And we had a core team of 20. 20 of us, by God's grace, we're gonna take the city of Calgary by storm. Ah! And we quickly grew that group of 20 down to 16. And then, by God's grace, we saw a lot of people meet Jesus, and the church grew. And for the next 3 years, I got to talk about Jesus, and we talked about Jesus to people. We saw people get baptized, and we saw people get free from addiction. And do you want to know something? I was dying on the inside. I was absolutely, utterly exhausted. Here's why. If you live a life of mission without empowerment leads to exhaustion. Mission without empowerment leads to exhaustion. Some of you, you've done great work for Jesus. You've done great things, and you're tired. You're so tired. It could be that you need a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit. So Foothills, we have this new value of scripture and spirit. Here's what we mean by that. We believe this, that the Bible is God's word. Inspired by the Holy Spirit, it is our rule for life and faith. We really believe that. That this book, if you read it and you apply it, it will change your life. It is good. It is God's word. It is trustworthy. It is true. It's amazing. And we believe this, that the Holy Spirit is God, and he speaks to us, and he speaks through us, and he does so most clearly through the scriptures and always in alignment with the scriptures. So let me tell you a story. Here's what we believe. I want you to get this, that the Holy Spirit, he really does prompt, and he really does lead, and he really does amazing things. I think I've shared this story with you before, but it's fun, so I'll share it again. When God called me to ministry, one of my great desires was to know the scripture. So I set out to read the Bible 10 times cover to cover in 1 year. It was a couple hours of Bible reading. Some of you should do that. Some of you are spending 2.5 hours watching Netflix a day. The Bible's right there. But I probably got through 6 or 7 times. Anyways, I noticed that God started speaking to people. So I started to pray and go, God, I want to hear your voice. I want you to nudge me. Like Adam heard from you and Eve heard from you, but that was sort of before the fall. Okay, fine. But then there was Moses and Abraham and Joshua and Sarah, and you just go through it. And all the time, God is speaking to people. So I would wait and pause. Anyways, I began to realize that God would prompt me in my thought life. And I remember one time I was at work. This is the story that I've shared with you before. I was at work and I had this beautiful lunch. I was doing construction, like construction landscaping. So we were building patios and decks and driving backhoes. It was a ton of fun. And I remember I sat down and I had two sandwiches and two yogurts and an apple and a banana and two granola bars. I had packed this lunch for a king, and that king was me. And I remember I sat down on my cooler. I had a cooler. And I started eating the first sandwich. And I just prayed, and I remember going, God, thank you so much for this amazing lunch. You've been so gracious to me. Would you please feed somebody else by your grace? Because you've blessed me so much. And I had this silly little thought, you do it. And then around the corner came the most annoying guy on the work crew. He was always late. He never worked hard. And he said this, does anyone want to buy me lunch? No, no one wants to buy you lunch. But God wants to feed you. So I said to him, I'll split my lunch with you. I've got more than enough. Do you know, I want you to know, Fotos, that was one of the most joyful lunches I've ever had. Because the Holy Spirit does speak, and he speaks, when he speaks, it's in alignment with the scriptures. Now, one of the dangers we need to be aware of is sometimes people have spiritual experiences that actually go against the scripture. So there are people who will tell you, God told me to leave my spouse, and it's not like there's a reason for it. They just wanted to be with somebody else. That's not the Holy Spirit. That's not God. And so, Foothills, as a church, we want to be led by the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, enjoy the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is good, and he's ordered. And sometimes there is deep and profound spiritual reality that breaks in when the Spirit moves. Sometimes people cry. Sometimes people weep. Sometimes people fall over. It's in the book, by the way. Daniel has an experience of the presence of God and he falls over. So, a couple other thoughts. And then we'll move on. Verse 5, for John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. A quick theology on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This is often contentious. Lots of people get mad and argue about it. I don't think that's really the point. The point isn't to get argue and get mad. It's to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So here we go. What is the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Good question. The baptism of the Holy Spirit happens when you become a Christian. When Jesus unites himself to you, and you get saved, here's what happens. He puts the Holy Spirit inside of you. And it's amazing. I'd invite some of you, do you remember that day? Do you remember that day? It's fantastic. And yet, the Bible also says something about being filled with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 says this, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. That word there for filled is actually an action that we do that's continuous and ongoing. So it's like continue to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Always be more filled with the Holy Spirit. So here's the great news. If you want to argue about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and you go, there's a thing that happens when you get saved and there's a thing that happens when after you get saved, and then absolutely, it's called being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's amazing that we can and will be filled with the Holy Spirit. So, couple questions. Again, do I long to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Do you long for the gift of the Father? Here's what's interesting. If you want the gift, you have to wait. So Jesus instructs the disciples, wait here until I send the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't know about you, but I hate waiting. Thank you. I hate waiting so much. I feel like the microwave is slow. When I use AI, now some of you have never used artificial intelligence, you should hop on it this weekend. Just learn, it's good for you. Here's the thing, with our AI is like this genie that does work for you. Some of you shook your head, it's okay. Here's the thing, I find AI to be slow. I hate waiting. That's the big idea. We hate waiting. Amazon Prime, I know some of you have Amazon Prime. And when it's like, when it's a 2-day shipping or 3-day shipping, part of you dies on the inside. I hate this. Waiting. Why? Because waiting feels like a waste of time. But I want us to know, Foothills, that there's two types of waiting that we can choose. One is this, we can just ignore. And the other is idling. What do I mean by that? When I worked construction, I drove a diesel truck. Any diesel truck drivers out there? Okay, some of you, good, good. They subtly raised their hands. I get it. When you use a diesel, you have to let it idle. You turn it on so that it warms up. See, in the Bible, waiting is actually about opening yourself up, opening your posture. It's about prayer. It's about fasting. It's about longing for what God can do. See, you cannot force the Spirit to baptize you. You cannot force the Holy Spirit to fill you again, but you can prepare. And so this week, today, is really all about preparation. We're not even going to pray for you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. If you came to the front and you're like, Kyle, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit today, I'd go, fine, I'll pray for you. But I'd like to say, wait. Here's what we want to do today, Foothills. Here's the great work. We're actually going to prepare. Some of us, we got sin in our lives that's keeping us from being filled once more by the Holy Spirit. Some of us, we just don't believe that the Spirit might fill you. We're going to repent of that today. Some of us, we have anger and bitterness that's in the way of what God wants to do in our lives. We're going to forgive. We're going to wait. All right. I have 4 minutes left to wrap it up. So let's wrap it up. Let's talk about the mission really quick, verse 6-8. Then they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. A couple of quick thoughts. One is this. One of the signs, I'm going to say something that probably is going to get me in trouble. Maybe I won't. I'll say it politely. That's what I'll do. What you'll see in this text, and one of the signs that we're not living in the fullness of the Spirit is this. The disciples, they got fascinated with the end times and political power, and they didn't care about the mission of witnessing. And one of the things that I've noticed is that there are many of you in this church who love reading and love researching about the end times, and that is good, and I like that. But if we miss the mission and just care about the end, we're missing the very heart of God. The disciples, they just go, what about the kingdom? And Jesus goes, stop! You don't get to know the dates and the times. Okay, and there's a war in Iran right now with Israel. I know some of you read the stuff. I know. And you're like, is this the end? Maybe, but you don't get to know the dates and times. And our job is the mission. And the mission requires the Holy Spirit. And he says, you will be my witnesses. It's interesting. The work here of being a witness is actually, the word there for witness is the same word from which we get the modern word martyr. Martyr. To be a witness was to be a martyr. What happened was just so many people died for Christ that martyr became the word that meant dying for your faith. One other thought too, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. What's fascinating is if you read the book of Acts, chapters 1-8, they start in Jerusalem, then they go to Judea, then Samaria, and then the uttermost parts of the world. It expands, starts right locally, and then expands and expands. It gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And I would just say this to us, Foothills. We do an amazing job of caring about global missions. We're never going to let that go. We love that. But we have a mission to do here in Calgary. Finally, let's talk about the end. Verse 9. After he had said this, this part is fascinating and odd. After Jesus said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." Okay, so this is what theologians call the ascension. I have 90 seconds to explain it. Okay, what is the ascension? Here's what happens. Jesus is taken up before their very eyes. And a lot of us, honestly, we picture Jesus becomes a helium balloon. And just, and then a cloud comes. That's not what is happening here, okay? That's not at all what's happening. And that's what I thought for years. Here's what happens. This cloud shows up, and he's gone. What is the cloud? Everyone who read the Old Testament, the people who would have first seen this, they would go, the cloud is what came on the temple. So there was this temple, there was all these sacrifices. People were like, "God, we want your presence." And God's presence came down like a cloud on the temple. And all of his glory was there at the temple in a cloud. So here's what's happening. The Father is taking the Son to his right place at the right hand of the throne of God. So there's this mystery, but it's not like he just floats away. It's God the Father grabs his Son, wraps him in glory, and says, "It's time for you to rule and reign in heaven." That's what happens. That's what the ascension is. And he probably was taken up on a cloud because they're staring up at the sky. Where is he? Where'd he go? And here we have these angels who say, "Get back to work. He'll come back one day on a cloud, the glory of God." That's what that is. But our job is to not stand here, not to look. So, Foothills, this is a week of waiting for the promise. Here's the invitation. So many of you did such a great job fasting a couple of weeks ago and praying, and some of you forgot. That's okay. This Wednesday, as a church body, we want to invite us to fast and pray and do business with the Lord. Because next week is actually about when the Spirit comes. And we want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So this Wednesday, we're inviting you to fast. To skip breakfast, lunch. You could go all through the night if you want. But just to fast from Tuesday night to Wednesday night, 24 hours. And go, "God, I want you." And if you go, "I don't really want that, Kyle." Here's the thing, and you're a Christian, repent. If you don't want God and you're a Christian, then why would you want to go to heaven? That's like he's there. So if that's you, here's what you say to God. "God, I don't even want you. I don't care. I'm sorry. Help me to care. Because wretched man that I am, I can't fix my heart." But we're going to fast, we're going to pray. And then next week, we're going to have an invitation. We'll probably all just stand where we are and just as a symbol of going, "Holy Spirit, please fill me again. Please drench our church with your presence." Because that's what's going to differentiate us. Friends, we're not going to see thousands of people come to Christ. And quite frankly, the Christian life is mundane if it's not Spirit-empowered. So that's what we're going to do. So today, I'm going to lead us just in a bit of a prayer. A couple of prayers. One will be simply this: if you have bitterness in your heart and someone you haven't forgiven, an opportunity to forgive them in Jesus' name. And then second is this: a prayer of hunger, of desire. "God, we long for you." Then we're going to sing the song, "Holy Spirit, You're Welcome Here." And on Wednesday, we'll fast together. Let's pray. If you're here and you have resentment in your heart towards another person, Jesus actually said that that's going to get in the way of you receiving forgiveness. So here's the prayer. Holy Spirit, would you show me anyone I haven't forgiven? And just listen. So Spirit of God, would you come and show us people we haven't forgiven? And if a name or a face comes to mind, great. If not, that's okay. You can just listen quietly. For those of us who had someone come to mind, here's the prayer. In Jesus' name, I release and name the person from the debt they owe me. And Father, I ask that you would bless them, that you would heal my heart, and you would set me free, and you would set them free. And some of you, you may have a list that you need to deal with this week. Do that. Here's the second prayer. And I invite you to pray it. You can pray it in your head, in your heart. You might pray it quietly. Here's the prayer. God, I long for you. We want you. We want to be filled by you. We welcome you. We're waiting for you. Please lead us. Please guide us. Please fill us. And Jesus, we thank you that you went to the throne of God so that you could send the Spirit of God to fill us. And Jesus, we thank you that on the cross, you gave up your human spirit so that we might be filled with your divine spirit, your Holy Spirit. And so God, we love you. We pray that we would know you. Please lead and guide us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm gonna invite us now.